Amen. Well, the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. And that's what the letter is designed to do. The letter of the law. I'd like to just bow for a word of prayer here, just for a moment. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for this teaching that we've had. Lord, just do a work in our hearts, Lord. The fear and the pride and the that we experience at times, Father, just help us, Lord, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand and obey you, Lord, and go forth with that great charge, that great commission that you've given to us, Lord. And today, as we share further, Father, I pray you would just speak through me, Lord, and that you would anoint my lips, Lord. That you would give these words life, Father, and may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a privilege to be here today. I don't want to take much time here. Brother Mel asked me to just share some experiences that I've had. We've had in our community in Indiana. I want to go more into church life. We've heard about evangelism, very wonderful things that God has laid on the hearts of these brothers through experience and through His anointing on their lives, and I was inspired with that. I was thinking about when a person gets born again, God, the need for discipleship, the need for growth, the need for a place for that man to take his family to, very real necessity of and the role that the Church of Jesus Christ that sends these men out to do this work plays in the role of coming generations in the church that will go to eternity, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And I don't feel qualified at all to speak on this, but God has placed me in a body of believers. Therefore, He qualified me to testify of what I've seen, what I've experienced in the blessing. There's anyone out there that is wavering, that's on the fence, that's wondering, what should I do? You know, is it safe? What will happen to my children? All those things, all those testimonies. You know, they have the gainsayers tell them, read your history book, you know, and that'll tell you what happens to people that step out of a dead religious system, you know. And I tell them, read your history book, and it'll show you that revivals never happen by a man who just stays in a dead system. It's always, God said, come out. That's what God said. And if you want to do something, if you want to minister to your friends, if you want them to come to the light, it is imperative, according to God's Word, that you stand on truth, stand on the Word of God. And today, as we look at the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ, I would just like to share a few things. I'm going to boast a little bit about what God has done in our community. It is the work of God. I would have to say that when I see a lot of the evangelism tactics that you brothers have spoken of and testified of here and shared with us, we haven't done a lot of those things with our people, going door to door. I know many of the brothers there have more than I have, but I have seen I've just seen a great work of God. People just falling on their faces and coming and you know, what must I do to be saved? It's just humbling. It makes me when I look out across the congregation, I don't know how many people are there every Sunday, but there's hundreds and I see the drunks and the drug addicts and all the people that it's just unthinkable. I don't understand it, you know, but I was thinking this morning of when I And it's not just in our community. I come here and you go to Michigan and to Kentucky and to Illinois and to everywhere. I see this happening. And I think God has put us in a position here, in a place, in the time of the Anabaptist people, where He wants us to have a vision, a clear vision of taking the gospel to every corner of the communities of our people. And I know that the world is waiting on our children, to the masses, the dying masses out there. But if we don't get this right, if we don't have established churches, if we don't have a people that can send people with the power and the blessing of the church that God has established, then they have, what do they have to testify of? You know, it's just so important that we focus on that as well. And I was just, my heart was drawn to where the apostle Peter stood up there in Acts, and these men were speaking in every man's language, and they were accusing them of being drunk. And Peter stood up and said, "These men are not drunken, as you suppose." And it dawned on me this morning that our people get accused of all kinds of things. You know, but I just had to think, these men that I know, these men that we've heard from, these men that are filling this tent in the communities everywhere, they're not, you know, they're discontented and proud, and they're not those things. They're not rebellious. They're not after the world. They are the people that the prophet Joel spoke about. They've had the Spirit of God poured out upon them, and they are seeing visions. And it's interesting, that word visions there in Acts 2 means different. It's different than the other visions you see in the scriptures. It means to gaze upon, and it is a place where men they see, they look out and they see something that is unseen. They see living in a place, in a time that we currently physically are not. It's godly homes and godly families, people coming to repentance, and keep people coming to Christ, and it's by faith, you know, and that's what God is about doing in the young families everywhere I go. And I think it's God's calling out His people in these last days. And I just what is our vision? What is our vision for leading these people into a lasting relationship? I was thinking about when someone gets born again, a child of God. It's His will that this, when we have a baby, when a woman has a baby, she doesn't just she nurtures this child, and that is the same way that God wants to do with a young babe in Christ. And I would just like to share with those of you that are wondering what will happen to you, wondering what would happen if you step out of, if you find yourself in a place that Brother Dan shared about, that is you're not seeing any converts, you're not seeing any evangelism. You're seeing, you know, I spoke with a man today over here in New Holland, and had a nice conversation. The instant I talked to him about Jesus, he just turned around and walked away from me. And if that is normal in the setting you're in, you need to get out. I believe that's the way it is. I wouldn't encourage you to get out. If there's life in your church, if there's life in your setting where you're at, seek the Lord on that. You know, don't turn your back on people that are searching. But the the most powerful thing you can do for your people today is to stand on truth. And we battle with this thing, you know, with our in our backgrounds we probably don't have time to talk about too many of those things, but I'd just like to share my vision based on my own experience with men in our own community. They're mostly from my own background, but some are not. But we're all the same basically, and the beauty of a sinner coming to the Lord and serving God because he wants to, because the Spirit of God is at work in his heart and his life. I would like to share about what happens, what I'm seeing. They're getting saved, getting baptized, receiving a believer's baptism. I'm seeing men that hate sin. I'm seeing husbands and wives. After living together for 40 years, they fall in love for the first time with real love. You know, God's love. They were spiritually divorced before, and I know of one man in particular. He just shared with me not too long ago. He's in the church there, and he shared with me that he had so much sin hidden from his wife, and even after he thought he was a pretty good person and had cleaned up his life and was reading the Bible, there were still so many things between him and his wife one night he shared with her half the night, and prior to this he had had so many things that he had against the church in our community, that he could never come there. He could not come near us. And he said the next morning, when he got clear with his wife and he gave his heart to Jesus, he said all those things that he had against us were gone. He couldn't even think of them. And so that is, I heard him say that, and it's just the reality that a lot of the things that people throw at you, accuse you of, some of the fears you have maybe of coming out, I think the underlying problem there is usually unconfessed sin and something that hasn't been given up, something that hasn't been forsaken and confessed and brought to light. I'm seeing families where the husbands are in authority. The husbands are the authority in the home. Radiant wives and peaceful children. These are the things that you can look forward to in the church. These are the things that we should look for and expect. I'm seeing in the brotherhood a group of men that trust one another. You know, and in so many settings where there's just a confusion and a darkness, it's impossible for a group of men to trust one another. And when a group of men trust one another, when two men trust one another, it does two things. It creates a responsibility. It creates an accountability, one to another, and I kind of lost my thought there, but you know, just the other day I heard someone say that so and so brother, they saw him go into a bar, and I said, I don't believe that. You know, I know. I'm sure that's not true. You know, and it wasn't. But we can find ourselves in a place where the brethren trust one another to a degree that we even I can't even explain it. I can't even explain it. It's something that I've never experienced before. But In this, I'm also seeing parents, and I'm seeing young people, ages 16 through early 20s. And you go to their house on a Saturday night, and the children are there, sitting around their dad and their mom, talking. And they're there because they want to be there, not because they have to be there. That youth group thing, I don't think it's God's will that children spend their 4 or 5 nights a week away from their parents with all kinds of programs. I think it's destructive. I'm not against young people enjoying one another's company and all that and doing things together. But on a regular basis, you know, churches, it's just a blessing to have a young man, to see a young man where his dad is his best friend. You know, and I'm seeing that. And it wasn't that way, you know, I saw that. I saw that come into being. I saw that being cultivated and lived out. And I'm seeing young people getting converted at young ages. Chapter 14 talks about John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And if a man orders his life by anything other than the conviction of the Holy Spirit, why, it's in vain. It's called dead works. I'm just inspired with what I see, with the people coming out there, and I'm in regards to reaching out to our people. You know, it was just, as Brother Mel asked me to share on this, it just struck me that going out door to door, sharing with our neighbors, going and sitting down with an old friend at his table, sharing the gospel with him, and all those things is necessary. But what do I have to offer him? You know, what does he really want? Because it's interesting how even a carnal person is concerned about his children. They're concerned about the next generation. What's going to happen to my children? And they want a safe place to go. They want to see stability and safety. They want to see God's most powerful witness upon earth. Is the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And when they see the love of the brethren, Jesus said, he prayed in the garden there that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That will make a believer out of someone quicker than anything else I can do, I suppose, is to be actively engaged in loving my brother, that they can see it. You know, God will, when there's love amongst the brethren, God will put us in circumstances, in situations where we're able to exercise that in front of the unbelievers, in front of the gainsayers. I've seen it. And you know, they need to see godly homes and ordered lives. They need to see godly leadership with godly authority. Church members brothers and sisters submitting one to another, esteeming one another as more than themselves. Families working together. You know, a family working together in the garden, you know, with the teenage children. Those kinds of things. It speaks, you know, I can go to my neighbor and I can talk to him, but when he can see that, when he can see that lived out, that will be required. That will be required to make believers of them, I believe. They will flee. They will flee from when they see drift, dissension among the brethren. They will flee from these things. And the other thing that I see is the next generation coming up. God would have our children to go and just be a witness of that. You know, one of my uncles, I just came to a place with him where, I we were done talking. He told me to go in my way. I should live my life, and he will live his. He said, "We'll see in 40 years." That's what he told me. So, we'll see if you were right or if I was right. Not too long ago, there's a young man in our church. I suppose he's about 14 or 15. He has his neighbor was baling a field of hay, and he went over to help him. And his neighbor would be his uncle, I think, and they have a burden for their uncle. They love him, and he's not walking with God, you know. But they ask him, the hay wasn't getting fit, and they couldn't bale the hay, and his uncle said, was just discouraged. He said, "If the wind doesn't start blowing, we won't be able to make the hay." And the young boy said, "Well, why don't we pray, you know?" And his uncle said, "Well, okay, you pray. You go ahead and pray. You ask God to make the wind blow. That'd be good." So he did. He prayed, and the wind started blowing, and they made hay, you know. And that's the Lord. That's what. And the other thing, probably the most important thing, is Brother Mel talked about love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, there's a just that principle of. Jesus talks in Matthew 5 about love your enemies, love those that curse you, despitefully use you, and hate you. And you know, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And that's a very real part of being a light in wherever you are, wherever we are. There is persecution. There's people that hate you. There's people that say lies about you. There's people but it's not, you know, Jesus said, "Marvel not when they do these things," because they did it to him first, and he came, and his the kingdom of God is in contrast to the world system. And if our plans and our goals and our life and everything makes sense to the average person out in society today, we're probably going the wrong direction. So if there isn't, you know, that's a good sign when they do those things. Those can be good signs. They hurt. They're painful. But he exhorts us there to love them, pray for them, and bless them. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Because for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And the thing that I see is that Recently, there was a young man in a farming accident, and he lost his leg, and several families from the church went to visit him one Sunday afternoon. There was a whole bunch of people in the room there, and many of them were people that I'd gone to church with for 30 years, where I came from, and I trembled going in there. But as I looked upon them, my fear went away and went in, and I just, you know, it was a blessing. We sang some songs, and later I realized what happened. I looked upon them, and I loved them. God gave me a love for them, and the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And I believe you cannot love someone that you fear, and you can't fear someone that you love. So that is probably the most powerful thing, the most powerful aspect of the church's outreach is the love that God loves us with. And He wants to do that in each of our hearts. So praise God.
Well, praise God. Thank you, brethren, for sharing. That was such a joy and blessing to hear from your experiences, your very heart, and from God's Word. It was just a real blessing this afternoon. You know, one of the things I've also found, which was brought out very clearly in each one that spoke, is get involved. And the love of God will just begin to, you know, it draws the love of God right out of you. I mean, it's just when you get involved, the love of God begins to fill your heart for that individual. And another thing I thought about this afternoon as they were sharing is, you know, the commandment is go. Go ye therefore. Sometimes I think sometimes we have the mentality of, well, you know, we'll just kind of sit till God opens a door, but the commandment is to go. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, amen. Do we have some questions at this time? I'm just going to open it up for some time of. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just going to open it up for a little bit here for some questions you might have on evangelism or discipleship. You know, I know that a very important aspect of this community is involving yourself in discipleship, especially with different families out of our settings that are coming to faith. You know, they need to be discipled. They need to be brought along. Think of Paul says, "I travail you." Paul said to the Galatian church, they had kind of fallen away from the foundation of faith in Christ. And Paul said to them, "I travail you to birth again until Christ be formed in you." And you know, that should be our heart, is to bring these families along. There's families that are trying to find their way in their newfound faith in Christ. They come to saving faith, and sometimes there's, you know, experiences that they've had, maybe that they tend to react to, bad experiences that they've had in their former background, you know, former church experience, and there's sometimes tendencies to reaction, and we need to take them through God's Word and teach them, you know, that the true principles of God's Word in these matters. Some of these, Brother Melvin's going to bring forth next week on an ongoing basis in his teachings. But that's very important, that we involve ourselves, if God opens a door, maybe to bring someone to Christ, or maybe even just to, you know, another door with someone who has already come to Christ, to then, you know, be able to take him on in the all things of Christ. You know, it says, "Go ye therefore into all the world, and teach it, teaching all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Then it says, "Teaching them all things, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." So a very important aspect of evangelism is discipleship as well. So go ahead, we have a mic here. Does anyone care to share any questions or comments or experiences you've had, Brother Henry?
Yes. Brother Eve talked about when people want to kind of drag the subject out and just kind of go different places with you and just, you know, kind of try to maybe change the subject or something. And I would like to hear more about that. That has been my experience many times. There's been many times that I've, you know, it just takes a lot of patience. Sometimes I, you know, end up sharing some truth with somebody and they say a whole lot, you know, and I get a little in every once in a while, and then they just go on and on and on, and kind of like to, I'm not sure, kind of divert my attention from the truth, I guess, or something. And it just, all I could do was just be very patient, and just, I did get to share what I wanted then, but, you know, I would appreciate more about that.
Yeah, I think Eve brought it out pretty good. You know, it takes wisdom, but it also takes boldness. Sometimes we just need to be forthright and finally come down to being upfront with them. You get what I'm saying? Because we can waste our time with with people that just take us, you know, want to take us around and around, and you know, sometimes I think that sometimes when we go out to share the gospel, it's good to even to just let them know why we're there, you know, right up front. And especially if, now, you know, I know sometimes with neighbors and so forth, we try to build relationships, and the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And I believe there's time for that. But there's also times, you know, when it's wise to just, you know, give it to them up front. And if they try to take you around circles, you know, finally you just have to let them know why you're there. And if they're not interested, you move on. That would be, that's my counsel there. Simeon, do you want to get a mic here?
Yes, I agree with that. It's a thing that, if you look at the example of Jesus, how he did it there in 1 John 4 to the woman at the well, in a matter of, by the time the conversation turned around two times, he was already talking about God, he was already talking about spiritual things. And if we don't turn the conversation around very soon, we lose the edge that we have with the people that we want to witness to.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Others? Womer? Or who has a mic? Go ahead, Womer.
Yeah, one thing that I'd like to share here with the group is we cannot help the people that we're walking alongside to a greater measure than that what we have. I think it's very important as we long to reach out and have an outreach is that we are willing to go to sanctification in our own lives no matter what, at all costs, to seek further sanctification in our own lives. If we desire to see sanctification in our brothers' lives, we need to go there ourselves. One of the things that has been very, very interesting to me is if we love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we keep that number one, and then our family, if we keep our priorities straight, number one is to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to look out for our family's needs. The spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. If we do that, and of course, if we do that, then work also comes in line there. And then church. The church family is to be together with them. And I've found that even at that point, a family is very dysfunctional. If we go to that point, and we have our priorities straight to that point, the family is still very dysfunctional. outreach is a very necessary ingredient in our lives to have a functional family.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've found that is if we want to reach out and come alongside of if we have a longing to help other people and we long to encourage people on in their Christian lives, then it sets a higher standards for our family.
Mm-hmm.
If we're willing to reach out and encourage other people, we always need to be... it's important that we keep our family, that we are more willing to reach out to our family than we are to people outside our family. So if we are willing to reach out to people that are outside our family, it raises the standard in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens, it raises the standard that we can reach out to other people. And as that rises, we realize the need of that we need to treat our family better. And, you know, to have a strong church, we need strong families. For a strong nation is made up of strong families.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really interesting that the ingredient, even though the ingredient of outreach may be in the bottom of the list, the family is still not functional if there's not an outreach in some sort
mm-hmm.
in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very important ingredient that mm-hmm. we teach our children the importance of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Wilmer. Any more? Care to share? Over here we have one.
I think one of the most important things that I heard today was, I'm not sure which one of the brethren shared that, and that is that our life, I'll put it in my own words, our life speaks louder than our words. Now, before I was a Christian, I had a lot of people telling me what I don't need to do. And I knew their life, I knew where they were, and to me, some of them didn't have very much to offer. When I then did start searching for something, the thing that spoke to me was that when I became to a group of young people, there was there some that were handicapped. There were some dwarfs there. There was a lot of different people there. And they appeared to be a family. Where I came from, those were the people that we made fun of. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think that spoke more to me than anything that ever anybody said to me. And I think what I'd like to say is that a lot of emphasis here is putting on going ye therefore. And I think that's right. But I think you'll find in the Greek it would say, as you go therefore. Mm-hmm. So right where we are, if we can't be that where we are, we won't be that in Lancaster either.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, we must have a life that backs up our words. You know, there must be a life there as we speak forth the gospel. Is there anyone else care to share? Or any questions you have again? Amen. Again, just encouraging us all to you know, to be involved. I think these three that shared this afternoon, we've clearly seen that they're involved. You know, they're involved in evangelizing and discipling and being concerned about those in our community. And, you know, there's needs abounding. I mean, there's people searching. There's families that are a place of conversion and need discipleship. There's others that are crying out for, you know, for answers. You pray. Pray as an individual. Pray as a family. What God would, how God would you use you or your family in this community? There's just so much that there's so many that are crying out. And I think, you know, out there, what Solly was sharing out there in Allen County, it's a beautiful example there of just the solidifying of the brethren there. And I know we have concerns about that here. You know, there's some maybe that have reacted in the community to maybe a church experience they've had. And I would just love to see, you know, all of that come together to where I'm not saying we have to be one church, but simply that, you know, that they're walking in soundness of doctrine and not veering off into something that is, you know, that taints the testimony. So let's be about discipling and helping others along and endeavoring to raise up the testimony of this community at a higher level, and that Christ Jesus might be lifted up more and more, you know, that people can see the testimony of Christ that people are professing lining up with God's Word. Okay, anyone else yet? We have a few moments here if there's anyone else. Well, thank you, brethren. Thank you, Dan, Eve, Solly. This is a real blessing just to hear from your very heart and experiences. And how the Word of God is effective. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. It's the Word of God. As we sow bountifully into people's lives, the seed of God's Word, His promises, we will also reap bountifully.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.